throughout this period up to Easter, our theme has been listening. So we are listening in Lent. We started on Ash Wednesday. That was a day of prayer and reflection when we came quietly. That was just our beginning. That was just our approach to God. And so we've set ourselves the task of, during this period of Lent, of learning to listen more effectively to what God may be saying to us. So to help that process, 2 weeks ago, the next part, we had a table service where we concentrated on something we ought to know something about, listening to one another. And we listened and we thought about it and we recognized that there was important things about attentiveness, about paying attention, about having eye contact, about when we come and we sit and we listen to someone else, the objective should be to hear what's on their agenda, not to bring ours. And so in the process, we learned a little bit, not trying to give answers to queries that may come up, but demonstrating empathy. Last week, we looked at one of the ways that can really help us to hear God more clearly. We looked at the significance of fasting, and we looked at how that might help us to discern what God might say. Well, today I want to follow that up. I want to think about some things that we can do to help us listen to God and what he says specifically. On this Mothering Sunday, which originally was here, called to allow people to come back to their mother church and recognize this place that had nurtured them, so we come back to the core, the heart of who we are as God's people, to listen to God. And the first thing I want to say when it comes to listening to God, it's about getting personal. Listening to anyone implies there must be some kind of relationship. And the starting point there of us listening to God is recognizing it gets personal. Our Christian faith is much more than repeating certain rituals and practices. That's what defines religion. But our faith walk with God instead is an ongoing journey. It isn't about rituals that we pursue. It is about the relationship that we have. I believe it is the greatest journey you can ever take, because it's the journey of you uniquely making with Almighty God. Wow. It is you and the Jesus that you've been singing of. But we don't need to reflect on Jesus as being this character from 2,000 years ago who walked on the dusty streets of Palestine. This is you walking with Jesus today, this afternoon, if you were to do so, literally going for a walk, a Sunday afternoon stroll with the Savior of this world. It's about Jesus in your home, Jesus in your work, Jesus in your life, Jesus in your neighborhood, Jesus in your relationships. And when we begin to grasp the nature of what this Christian faith is, it opens the door for us to get personal and to begin hearing from God. So I want to start with this fundamental, because it is so easy for our faith to become dominated by the acts of worship that we make. Our faith can be dominated by Sunday morning and the other times when we meet, even dominated by those times when we might read our Bibles during the week. I'm not suggesting those things are not good, but if we make our faith about what we do instead of who we relate to, well, no wonder we struggle sometimes to listen to God. He's a personal God. And in the passage that we read from 1 Samuel 3, we are introduced to this person Samuel, who is about to have an amazing relationship with God. He's just starting his apprenticeship. Literally, he's in the house of God. He's in the tent. This is the house of God, and he seems to be living there. Eli is in charge, but Eli's becoming an elderly man, and he's about to hand over the reins to someone else. And Samuel is about to receive that call, but it will be a personal call. And so even in this place of worship, God calls out to Samuel in the most personal way. To his future servant, he calls him by name. Samuel. Samuel. And he calls us by name in exactly the same way. One of the most powerful passages in the New Testament that teaches us something about hearing the voice of God is John chapter 10. Verse 3 begins with these words. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. This morning, do you know that Jesus has called you by name? He knows you by name. And that, surprisingly, the primary way that we therefore hear from him is personally, as he speaks to us, one to one. Which is why, if we want to approach him, one of the things that is so crucial is that we give ourselves time out. Time out with him is utterly crucial. It's something that has been put down a little bit in recent times, as we've been a little bit more flexible about the way that we approach God. Do you know there is no greater example of someone with the most astonishing relationship with his heavenly Father as Jesus? In our scriptures, Jesus, again and again, has this amazing relationship. And yet, to nurture that relationship, he needed time out. Again and again, we read that he left his disciples. He left the crowds. He left his ministry. He left people that needed healing. Because to do those things, first and foremost, he needed time out with God to build that personal relationship. So he went up the mountain. He went into the desert. He crossed Galilee to have time out with his Lord. Listening to God begins with a personal approach. It doesn't necessarily begin with that religious practice that we can all engage with when we come together. And it's the space that you give to God for that personal conversation to begin, which is so crucial. When I was at university, about 30 years or so ago, there was a study carried out that suggested that on average, Christians would spend no more than 5 minutes in their quiet time with God each day. And the person who was doing the study was appalled that they spent so little time. And the reason? Because people were so busy. That was 30 years ago. Today, people are so much more busy. In this electronic age, the demands made on us, the fullness of our diaries, are such that we're always in contact, and the pressure is enormous. And the thing that always gives is God. Sometimes we try to make convenient that relationship with God. I want to challenge us against it this morning. Do you know you can even get an app on your telephone or your electronic device which is called the 3-minute retreat. Bite-sized chunks of God. The 3-minute retreat. Actually, I've got it on my phone and it's quite good. But it's good as a little top you up. It's good just to hear God's voice partway through the day. If you're stuck at a bus stop, if you're stuck in a meeting, just to see what's being said today. A verse thrown out, some thoughts, a question asked. But God is not the God of bite-sized conversations, and he longs to talk to us. I want to encourage us to know through God that time out and give him some space. In the table service 2 weeks ago, one of the things that we recognized was that listening requires that attentiveness. We need to pay attention to one another. And one of the things that was mentioned was eye contact. Do you remember that? The importance of eye contact. And I was reminded, as I thought about it, of this image. Do you remember this on television? I don't know if this was back in the 80s. Smith and Jones. They came, two comedians, and they sat opposite one another, face to face, and they looked each other in the eye. And one person said, I've done this week. The other one said, did you really do that this week? And they were absolutely focused on what each other were saying. The eye contact was there. Nothing else was going to get in the way. And they challenged each other. And they had these deep and amusing conversations in the process. I want to ask the question, when you come before the Lord, do you have eye contact? Are you looking at the Lord? Or are you busy looking down at the notes, perhaps, in front of you, which are the purpose of a study? Learning about God is not the same thing as listening to God. Learning about God is not the same thing as listening to God. And if you want evidence of that, think about some of the educational institutions around this country where there is a department of religion or theology, where there are people who have an understanding of the Bible, who have an understanding of Greek and Hebrew that would put most, if not all of us, to shame. But I wonder whether they also have that relationship with God. If they have no belief in, no experience of God, that knowledge is doing nothing. When we come together for a quiet time, I want to encourage you, even when it is God's word in front of you, come and begin that process saying, Lord, look to God and say, Lord, what do you want to say to me? What is your agenda today? Open these words up, Lord, and speak to my heart. Challenge me as you want me to. That's the personal conversation. That's really paying attention to what God has to say. Sometimes people will tell me that they read their Bibles and they can say it feels a bit dry. My relationship with God isn't good at the moment. It's all a little bit dry. It feels like a bit reading a history book. Well, it will do if you're not engaging in that conversation yourself. But ask God to open it up and watch. As suddenly, those instances that you are speaking of from history suddenly start to have parallels with things that you are going through. Suddenly, the things that the people who are just a side character in the story in scripture that you're reading suddenly start to resonate with the feelings you've been having. That's the word of God coming alive when we pay attention, when we focus on the Lord. Do you notice something else, by the way, from that image? Do you notice they're wearing white shirts? They always wore white shirts. And there was always a background that was black. Why? So that they were the focus. There was nothing else there as a distraction. I want to encourage you to have that when you come before God. Cut out the distractions. If there's lots of noise around you, it is really hard to discern the still small voice of God. Did you read the article that I wrote at this month? The question, how many tea bags does it make to make a cup of tea? Yeah? And the answer is that when you're concentrating not on the tea you're supposed to be making, but start to concentrate on other things and get distracted by emails and everything else, and the tea stews and the tea bag is as, the water's as black as the tea bag itself is, it takes three tea bags in that particular instance to make the cup of tea you were supposed to be there for in the first place. I want to encourage you to read that again and look at some of the examples. And I want to encourage you to take lessons from it and not do what I do, which is then to ignore it, because I did something remarkably similar again on Thursday. It was our AGM and everything was just about ready. I'd just been to the church. I'd turned the heating on so you're all toasty warm when you got here for the AGM. I went back home and again, I'd just had an hour to get myself organized, get the computer together, the last few little bits and have my meal. And it was chicken curry. Oh, yes. And I just had to warm it up. But I was tight on time. So I thought, there's no problem. I'll just warm it up. But I'll turn the heat right up to get it boiling away quickly. And then I'll just pop away and get the computer sorted. And oh, just make sure there are no emails. And you know what it's like when you've done that. And you know you've only been there for 30 seconds. But you suddenly realize it's not 30 seconds. It's 10 minutes. And that alarm goes off in your head. And I went charging into the kitchen. And there it was, the pan with contents spewing all over the cooker, bubbling away like crazy. The windows steamed up. My beautiful chicken curry looking more like crispy duck. And to make it worse, for those of you who are on the Daniel fast, you know that Thursday was the last meal before the vegetables. Isn't that a picture of how we can be with God, who has such blessings to pour out to us, but we're too readily distracted? We're sitting in front of the computer having our quiet time, and an email pings. Oh, I'll just see what that is. Even worse on that particular Thursday evening. Of course, I'm trying to save myself time. I end up wasting so much more time because I've now got to clean the pan out and scrape all the crusty bits so Lorinda doesn't discover it when she comes home, trying to get rid of the smell, and then go out. You're saving yourself time. I don't think you can have a 30-second retreat with God. He deserves our time. I encourage you to do that. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says this. You know this verse really well. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Oh, and I can see that future. And it's got chicken curry in it. And it's just wonderful. That's what God wants to give you. We know that verse. Do you take note of the verses that follow? Then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. What did Samuel do in our passage when he finally knew that it was God who was speaking? He said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." If you're going to listen to God in Lent, you really need to say, "Lord, you speak. I am really listening." Even in the presence of God, something else needs to take place. We do need to tune in to what he's saying. That was true of Samuel. This young man was going to grow to prove to be this mighty man of God who would come and know his Lord's voice intimately, and yet we discover him at the very earliest part of this contact, a young boy yet to attune himself to the Lord. So he hears the voice, Samuel, and he runs off because he's using the old way of thinking, and he goes to Eli thinking, that's the one who's speaking. No, it wasn't me. Go and sit down. Samuel, the voice again, and off, and he goes back to Eli. It's built in. because he's not yet learned to recognize that it is God who is speaking. He needs to tune in to God. Just recently, I've been sorting out a TV. And TVs today are not like TVs used to be. They're ridiculous. They're just basically glorified computers with a big picture on the front. And as with all computers and most electronic devices you can buy these days, the first thing they want to do is connect to the internet. The first question, what is your Wi-Fi password? And it wants to get connected. But when you've gone through that, it then follows a whole series of practical things to set itself up. And then comes the question, would you like me to tune in all the channels? And you just press yes. And it just happens. And you sit back and it all tunes itself in. And after about 60 seconds, you've got 200 channels of access. That's not like it used to be on televisions, is it? Did you ever have one of those televisions where it had a single dial that you rotate and you turn it and the picture's flickering and had it there for just turn it back a bit and it took an age. And woe betide you if you had to then go to ITV and you had to turn it all over again and find a. But in the process, you became expert at tuning in. Your eyes, your ears began to attune yourself. You learned how to do it. Do you know, it strikes me that in our modern day of convenience, Christianity is being pushed and challenged to the point that people want to come to church to be more like an experience, more like the modern television. You want to walk through the doors so that someone else will do the tuning in on your behalf. Just want to come and sit and just give me what I need. Give me the answers to the week and then I can go away in an hour and a bit and then get on with the rest of my week. That's not what God intends for us. He intends us to come and know him personally. We have a personal faith. Baptism is a personal choice. And our worship is just the same. Richard, leading us in worship today, had this one specific goal of leading us and helping us into the presence of God. But it was down to you to get past whether you liked the song or not like the song, whether you knew the words or didn't know the words, to just come and prepare yourself into the presence of God. I can't do that for you. When it comes to hearing from God, it's just the same. We need to attune ourselves to the voice of God. And you know, it takes time. It takes time. When I've had a particularly bad few days or weeks or some difficult thing has happened, I can be on my knees for hours before God. Just wrestling, just working it through. And gradually, God is the one who breaks through my feelings and hurts and frustrations and anxieties. And through scripture and through prayer, he starts to speak in and I tune myself in. Which brings me to the final point I want to mention. Our faith walk is one long exercise of learning to do this. But it is really helped by doing so alongside other people. Did you notice what finally helped Samuel to discern that it was God's voice? It was the wisdom and the experience of Eli, who just pointed him in the right direction. It was only when his faithful master helped him to realize who was speaking that he was then able. And he was able to take his relationship with God further. I believe that the Lord has called not just a few individuals in this church to come and wait on him. I believe he has called us as a church to do so. His church. If you were at the AGM on Thursday, you heard your secretary challenge you, but invite you to come and be part together of listening to that process. Do you know there is something wonderful? It happened again this morning as we were praying. something changed again. It did a few weeks ago. Something changes partway through. And you start to hear God more clearly. And you sense through other people's prayers, through just listening to them, you sense that connection with God growing and what the Lord might want to say to you. It is a powerful thing. When Baptists gather together to cover issues or to make decisions, we have this phrase that we tend to use that I think is really important. We talk about coming together to discern the mind of Christ. I've not heard about it in any other denomination. But we come together to discern the mind of Christ. There's something that happens when the Holy Spirit is present and people come with an open, humble heart, coming to God, but listening to one another and sharing. And something very amazing can happen. I want to read to you a short article, part of an article, written by Lynn Green, who's the General Secretary of the Baptist Union. It's written in the latest edition of Baptists Together, which is all about multiculturalism in the church. And she makes reference in this article to events that we are commemorating. It's 10 years since the Baptist denomination made an apology for slavery. That happened 10 years ago. And you, like me at the time, might be thinking to yourself, hang on a second, no disrespect, but slavery happened 200 years ago. What have I got to do with that? What does it have to do with me? Why do I need to apologize? Discerning the mind of Christ. This is Lynn speaking. I was there at Baptist Union Council in November 2007 when we were moved by God's Spirit to offer the apology for slavery. Like many others, I arrived wondering how on earth I could apologize for something that someone else did so many years ago. But through prayer and deep listening, our friends David Shasanya, Joe Capolio, Richard Kidd, and Graham Sparks enabled us to come to a place where we began to see differently and understand our share in and benefit from our nation's participation in the transatlantic slave trade. We talk a lot as Baptists about discerning the mind of Christ through the guidance of the Holy Spirit when we come together, but this was the most profound experience of that I had ever had. I was changed at that council. And although I am still growing into that change in many ways, it remains a decisive moment for me. I wasn't at that council meeting, but I want to tell you about one instance where I was present at a church meeting where exactly the same thing happened. Before I ever came to this church, I was in a church where we were considering taking someone to be the minister. Just one issue. He was quite a young minister, and the church had a large number of elderly people. And quite a large number of people, 40, 50% of those who were trying to make this decision were really struggling with this idea. Would he be able to relate to the older people? So we said, well, let's take it away. Let's pray. Let's discern. Let's listen to God. And we all went our separate ways and we were quiet and we had our quiet times and we prayed during the week. And then we came together for this church meeting. And one or two people started to stand up and share what God had said to them through the week. And one person in particular stood up. And they shared some verses of scripture and how God had humbled them and completely transformed their decision on whether this person should come or not. And in a moment, there was just such a sense of the presence of the Holy Spirit challenging us that we had an almost unanimous vote to invite this person to come, who has been there ever since, has been an amazing, brilliant minister. Invitation to the Holy Spirit, to God, to speak to us so that we hear his voice. That happens as we gather and discern together. And that's why we've encouraged you to be part of this process. On the wall next door is that little section, which you will have seen has all sorts of verses and scriptures and pictures that were given to us. Do you know, almost without exception, all of that came where a handful of Christians of you gathered together and just said, Lord, what do you want to say to us? And we brought what God had laid on our hearts personally in the week, and we brought that together and we discerned what God was saying. That's what I believe he wants to say to us. So I want to give you that invitation again. There are 3 more weeks before we get to Easter. I want to encourage you, recognize that God has given you a personal invitation to hear his voice for you. So give him time out. Give him the space that he deserves. Give him your full attention and learn to tune in. And it will take time. It takes time to hear what God is saying. But then come and join us as we meet together to discern what God's call is on our lives individually as we grow in him, but also for the future of our fellowship. What a privilege to, with your ears and heart, hear what Almighty God is saying to you. Let's pray.